I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia. Welcome back.
Hello.
So we have a little PSA tonight.
We've had a snafu.
Little boo-boo.
Oh, a little boo-boo. So listen, I pulled into Holly's home this evening.
We didn't know where we were going with this.
Just pulled into the driveway. Yeah. I have driven a little over an hour.
Yeah.
With, you know, traffic to get here.
You got pat down by Randy.
Got patted down by Randy the guard check. Right. Didn't mind it. So get into the driveway and I immediately just go, oh my God. I had grabbed my laptop and all the things and come to Holly's. Not realizing that I wrote my stories or my story for this week and I was ahead of the game and wrote mine for the next time as well. I had two very well done stories on my work laptop.
That doesn't feel good.
So I would have had to have driven another hour back to work. And freaked my school resource officer out because he would have gotten an alert that somebody was in the building at, you know, 7 o'clock at night.
You.
It was me. Surprise. and then drove another hour back.
Correct. Here.
So, thankfully.
The enchiladas would have been so cold.
The enchiladas are wonderful, though. They're so good.
Thank you.
So, with that being said, thankfully. Holly was prepared and has another story that she can tell.
I did, because much like Haley, I did another story too.
I was like, you know what?
I'm going to get ahead of the game this week. Yeah. And it turns out.
I'm really glad you did because I.
Me too.
And I was one of those where I was like, well, I know like what they were. So like I could maybe try to like quickly put something together. But they like I didn't want to because like I actually spent like pretty good time like making them, you know, good.
I mean, she went out and she caused a murder.
Right, like I did it. The things,
I mean, but she has to have something to tell.
So, I was like, yeesh. So I'll, you'll get 2 weeks of me.
Ooh, I
next
like that.
Go round. So you got 2 weeks of Holly.
I kind of like that.
Yeah,
2 weeks of you. Not 2 weeks of me. 2 weeks.
No,
of you. Sounds 2 weeks amazing.
So yeah, it just means that I will get to see Randy again.
That's right. You'll get to see my son again. Maybe he'll do more dancing for you.
Yeah.
Tonight, the floor was lava.
The floor was lava. We did do that. That was really fun.
The floor is lava.
I got here and he was in the shower.
He was.
And yes. I was like, what's happening?
You know what he does? So we have one of those detachable shower heads, you know, with the little cord.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to sit in the bathtub and ask me to pull the shower down. Mm-hmm. And he, like, will hold it up over his head, and he, like, puts it in the bathtub and, like, cleans his cars with it and, like, does all the stuff. And time will go by.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, admittedly, I can get a lot of stuff done, which is helpful because my son is a mom, look at this, mom, do this. And so it's like, I can't do anything. So I was trying to make the enchiladas.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in the shower, and Haley came in, and she was like, where's the kiddo? And I was like, oh, he's in the shower.
Yeah, it's just in the shower.
It's just in the shower.
And then I heard the shower, like, you know, turn off and you had gone in there to help him. And he was just like, Auntie Haley is here.
He's like, is she here? And I was like, she's here.
She's been here.
She's been here since you've been in the shower an hour, honey. Yes. Yes. She's here. And he was like, oh. And I just had told her, like, prepare. He's probably going to come out naked, just so you know. And he did.
Well, he had started with a towel on. Mm-hmm. The towel was on.
Yep.
And he's little, so like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He's little.
Weird.
So he had the towel on, and then he had to show me his monster truck. So the towel just We just dropped the towel.
Yep.
At that point. And he just showed me his monster truck.
to clarify, it's not what we call things. Like, oh. Actually, it's a monster, monster
truck. The one with the...
remote control.
Yeah.
It's a remote control operated monster truck, and it's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
It lights up.
He let me do the remote control, and I was like, this is fun.
It's really fun. Whenever he goes to bed, sometimes I play with it myself.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
But then he also had to show me, I was looking at, you know, as he was doing the monster truck, and his like bare belly is out, and I'm like, did you draw on yourself? Like, what has happened to your stomach? Because it's like, from where I was, like across the room, I couldn't really tell what was going on. No, he's just been tatted up.
Yeah, he's tatted up.
He's tatted up.
And he will say that term. He was like, can you tap me up?
Can you tap me up?
And I'll say, sure, honey. And so we go into the bathroom and I put on the little tattoo and the water behind it. And it makes this, you know, tattoo that eventually will wash off. But it's a cat.
Yeah, it's really cute.
It's a giant cat.
But like, it does take up like his whole
it
stomach.
It does. And he chose it and he was like, I want that cat tattoo so bad. And I know that he's going to grow up to be the guy who's like tatted up because already at his young age, he's a preschooler and he is like tatted, you know, on his belly.
Yeah.
And it's always his stomach. And I'm like, I mean, that's cool. Like, nobody sees it.
I was
really
going to see it.
Like,
so Dante Haley, when you.
Exactly. Like,
she comes over.
Well, he did show his teacher this morning. He was like, you want to see my cat? And she was like, what? Did you get a new cat? And he goes, no, look, it's my tat cat. My cat tat. That's
my
what he said.
Tat.
My cat tat. And she thought that was so cute.
That's hilarious.
I also have one to match him because he said, Mom, you need one on your belly too. So
I did see that as well today. That's
so
a lot of...
I didn't show the teacher this morning, but I did show Haley because we're there.
We're, that's fine. We're at that point.
In a past life, we shared a straw
mattress. So I think we are to the point where I can see your cat tattoo.
To clarify, tattoo
of a cat.
There we are.
Not your cat tattoo.
That's another tattoo.
We're not there yet. I'm not seeing that one.
We don't have that.
I mean, you could. I would know.
Nope. That sounds like it would hurt really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are people who do that,
but
that sounds awful.
You know, some people get that pierced.
I know. That still sounds
awful.
That
sounds terrifying.
It's apparently really, like, erogenous, erotic to, like, do that.
That makes my stomach turn. I mean, to each their own. If that's your thing, do
it. Well, even, like, nipple tattoos. Nipple rings. Like, I feel like that would just get stuck on things, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That would hurt.
Freaks me out too.
Yeah.
Whew. I had a lot of friends in college who had those done.
Really?
Yeah. It was like really a big thing when I was in college.
It's kind of, you know, seen as like a sexy thing.
It's not my thing.
I don't think getting caught on my blouse is sexy.
No.
Like, oh wow. Ow, ow, ow. Yeah, that's not sexy.
I think if I had those, I would set off the metal detector when I have to go through the guard shack.
That is true.
Yeah. When I have to get searched. Because I don't have to.
It's not a metal detector.
No, it's
he
a wand.
You.
But sometimes it's like a random selection thing. It's what Randy has told me. It's a random selection thing.
It's not random.
It's just
you.
Me. Because I've never seen anybody else stop.
He said, do you have a cat tattoo?
I have to get out and get wanded. It's actually only happened twice.
It's probably been more.
Like
twice.
Be
but each time it was amazing. And he said, do you have any tats?
He did not.
No? No
tats? Like, are you like in his 40s?
Hey! So am I!
No, he's great. I don't know. Was he 50?
Discrimination.
Is he in his 50s?
No! He's probably mid-40s. That would be, I mean, I don't ask him because he's kind of intimidating.
Yeah. But, like, he's got that kind of, like gruff.
Right. I mean, like.
Like, he's seen some things.
I'm sure.
He's been through some things.
You.
Yeah, I aged him at least 5 years.
I mean, he actually looked way younger before he started coming here. Yeah, yeah. Like, Yeah. I've lived here for several years, and I feel like he's aged in that time. So it could be us living
here. I wonder why I get wanded.
See, I don't know. My mother hasn't mentioned it.
Well, it's probably because I have had to get out of the car before.
Like, what are you doing?
Because I'm, like, dropping things off. I brought him donuts that time.
Yeah, but...
And then I got wanted.
See,
but... But I feel like it was a joke. Like, it was a joke wanding. Because, like, I was telling him about how, like, I had to wand a kid at school.
Oh, great.
Because if they get caught with, like, vapes or whatever, we have to wand them. And the new state rule is you have to do, you have to have two faculty members of the same sex as the student. So, like, two females have to search a female student. Two males on a male student kind of thing.
So, but... His scenario was not...
No, but I was joking with him. I was like, you know, I've had to wand...
I've wanded kids before.
I had to wand a kid or whatever. He's like, I have this wand.
I killed a guy in Nam.
Like, okay. So, but no, he, like, had the thing there, and I was like, haha. And then he, like, jokingly, like, wanded me.
Haha. Yeah, nothing. Beep, beep. Oh, it's just your nipple rings. Never mind.
Right, no. It didn't go off. Thank God.
If he did that to me, he'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wand your knees. Oh.
When I worked in, I was in D.C. and I was up at the Capitol a lot for my internship, I set off every metal detector. Every single one of them. I don't know why or how.
Huh.
But I set off
every single one of them. You don't have, like, a metal hip or
something. I have no metal in my body.
Okay.
Well. But I set off every single one of them. I got pulled aside and patted down so many times.
I feel like you're just the person that just people want to pat down.
I've gotten clearly Randy patted down at the airport. Not been patted down by Randy, just wanted. Patted down at the airport because I accidentally had my, like, money belt on.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew what I had done as soon as I got in the full thing. You had to put your hands up to do the scan or whatever. And I was like, And I went to reach and they're like, do not reach. I'm like, okay. Hands your partner. I'm so sorry. But I, like, can't. And she's like, what is it? And I was like, it's my money belt. It has my passport in it. And my foreign currency.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was like, okay, just take it off and hand it to me. And then I had to get, like, the full. She's like, do you want to go in the other room to get patted down? Or are you cool right here? I'm like, nah, just go for it.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, happened to me in O'Hare. And our friend, we had gone through the Asheville airport. We got through the O'Hare airport, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, I got patted down. Yeah. Everyone. But O'Hare, they checked me for, like, drugs and weapons.
That's right.
They
checked my hands. Slobbed.
I did. I was terrified. And she just walked through like nobody's business. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm with her. I don't mean
Yeah.
She's my accomplice. No, you know, like, it was weird. Just very strange and you know.
My brother got swabbed. He definitely got, like, pretty hardcore searched. You can't not fly. If you fly with Gold Bond, like the powder.
Yeah.
They think it's, you know, drugs.
Oh, that makes sense.
So they had to take it out and, like, actually test the Gold Bond powder to make sure it wasn't drugs.
Well, it makes sense because people export and import drugs in so many different ways.
He did not have drugs. He was clear. He
got to there was a show bond. I used to watch all the time called Locked Up Abroad, and it was about people usually drug trafficking. Yeah. And they were caught in foreign countries, and some of these prisons were insane.
Crazy.
Anyway, I digress, but Haley did get here.
I did.
My son danced, showed her the monster truck. Mm-hmm. They did all the things.
Did
he
all
fought
the things.
Me to go to bed.
Oh, yeah. That was a journey.
Yeah. Yeah,
that we all went on together.
It was not magical. It was rough.
No, I was just trying very hard to be, like, not involved because I didn't want him to, like,
look at you.
Look,
like,
at me. Like, yeah. And I was like, I can't be here.
Kinetic sand.
Yeah, the kinetic sand did ascend, man.
Yeah, it's in timeout now for until, you know, a day.
Wow.
Yeah. I gave him to three and told him what the consequence would be, and he wouldn't listen.
Well, I knew it was going downhill when he took the handful of it and just dropped it on the coffee table. I was like, ooh,
that was the mic drop moment.
That was the mic drop. That's when I picked my phone up, and I was like, and I'm going away now.
You're going to let mom handle this
I'm going to let mom be mom, and Auntie Haley's going to just sit here.
Mom said, okay, clearly you've made a choice, and now so have I.
Yeah.
Kinetic sand is gone.
It was rough.
And he lost his mind.
It was a tough time for all of us.
It was a tough time. Yes. So,
but we survived.
Barely.
You know, we made it.
We're thriving. Sort of thriving-ish.
You got a ghost story?
No. A botched execution.
Oh!
Nothing's better, wow, right? Oh,
even more fun.
Even more fun. Okay.
Tell me about it, y'all.
Today we are going to the Holman Correctional Facility in Ardmore, Alabama, where dreams are born.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the year 2018.
Dang. Okay.
I know. So, yes.
We're still executing people? In Alabama. It's Alabama.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's every fine. Week.
Well, every, so, you know, yeah. So often.
So, yes. We're starting our story off at the penitentiary.
The penitentiary?
The penitentiary.
Okay.
On death row, to be exact.
I would assume.
When you think execution.
I think death row. Think
death row. Yeah. That's how it works. This is where we meet convicted murderer Doyle Hamm. H-A-M-M.
I don't like that last name. I'm okay with Doyle, either. But not Hamm.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I don't really like Doyle either. Okay.
Yeah.
Proceed.
It's better than like the last name Pig. P-I-G-G.
I knew a girl. Her last name was Butts. That's B-U-T-T-S. Terrible.
That's awful.
Yep.
Bless it.
Yeah.
Now, Doyle has been sitting on death row for the last 31 years.
Dang, that's a long time.
That's a real long time. In January of 1987, 29-year-old Doyle went on a crime spree that included robbery.
Ooh.
On the 24th of January, 1987, Doyle was in Mississippi where he stole a .38 caliber pistol and headed east towards Alabama. So, it's important to know here that Doyle was a habitual felon and had committed a series of burglaries, assaults, and grand larceny.
You know, he's just...
Just day in the life.
Doing the things.
Yeah. He so had far, not been bonded.
You know, we haven't hurt anybody. We're just breaking and entering.
Right. Doing the
stealing
thing.
Some things.
Illegal stuff he Illegal shouldn't be activity. Doing. But not too crazy. He had been in and out of jail multiple times by his early 20s.
Mm, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Doyle actually came from a family where his father and six of his brothers, yeah, had been in jail.
Oh.
The family motto was, and I quote, "If you don't go out and steal, you're not a ham." End quote.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a legacy.
My motto is, let's try and get through another day.
Yeah.
Let's, you know.
Well, you know, you have some families who, like, they're all career military. Like, everybody in the family goes in the military. Everybody in the family is, like, a doctor. Or yeah. A nurse.
Yeah.
So these guys were just felons.
Yeah. That was their thing.
Yeah. But stealing, I mean, not great.
No.
But stealing. Can you and imagine? Then, I mean.
When I grow up, I want to be incarcerated. Sounds great. I want the state to kill me.
I want to be in the penitentiary.
I want Randy to be my CO.
You know, sometimes.
Oh,
jail sounds okay.
No, never.
Three hots and a cot? No. Free cable?
No.
You don't have to talk to anybody?
No.
I could do it for like a week.
Then go to a mental institution.
Could also do that for a week. Okay. But they're going to make me talk.
Yeah, we'll put you on a hold. Okay. Maybe you have selective mutism.
Ooh, yeah. Fun.
Mm-hmm. That's a fun diagnosis.
That's wild.
It's usually trauma-induced, but
yeah,
still.
I've only worked with one person with that.
I had someone not too long ago who had that, again, trauma.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes from a space of lack of trust, for this individual, like sexual assault and that kind of thing. Yeah.
I have an uncle who had hysterical blindness.
Really?
Went blind for a year.
Wow.
Just no call. That's what it was called, hysterical blindness.
Huh. I feel like there's got to be a tweak on that name. Like that.
Oh, yeah. So, it's not. I'm sure it's not what it's actually called now, but like what he had, that's what they
called
it.
Well, that idea of hysteria sounds very Freudian.
Yeah.
And I like to move away from Freud and some of his theories. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was trauma-related death of I think it was grandfather or grandmother. Somebody he was really, really, really close to died. And like he was out of school for a year. It was the whole thing. And then just one day, sight came back.
It is so fascinating how your mind attempts to compensate in other ways to sort of protect you. And yeah, very strange. Anyway.
Wild.
So Doyle was encouraged at a very young age to commit crimes. He had a learning disability. And by fifth grade, he could only read at a first grade level.
So we already need an IEP.
Correct. But he didn't get that. So I would assume here that academics and like EC support wasn't really advocated by his family.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like, son, I want you to be in the penitentiary. Like, if that's your goal, you're probably not going to be like, I'm going to attend that IEP meeting, and I really want to talk about his goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Set goals. And
yeah.
Do with all the testing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, we don't want to hear about the standard deviation. We want to make sure that we go hold up a liquor store. Yay.
Woo.
As a family.
We can call that a family affair. That can be a... That would be more like a transition goal that we would set. Future career endeavors. We probably wouldn't do that until they're like going into their, you know, 16th year. It's usually when we start doing transition goals.
So, makes sense. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Yeah. So your insight to EC services.
Oh, bless you so much. Thank you. Doyle describes his childhood as, quote, constant hell all the time, end quote. By ninth grade, Doyle was so tired of the endless struggles in school, he decided to drop out. Yeah. And he continued his debaucherous lifestyle. He actually began drinking, using illicit drugs, all the things, often used as coping mechanisms. And, you know.
It's not like he just never had a chance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so this kid just didn't have a chance.
Did not have a chance from birth. I mean, grew up in a family of...
It's a hard cycle felons. To break.
Yep. And we've established Doyle's history here briefly, but let's go back to the 24th of January, 1987, when Doyle drives from Mississippi, where he's stolen a gun, to Cullman, Alabama.
Okay.
Doyle arrived at the Anderson Motel that was managed by the night clerk, Patrick Cunningham.
Okay.
Doyle held Patrick up and demanded money from the cash register. Doyle put the gun to Patrick's temple and fired one shot.
Oh my God.
Instantly killing him. Doyle took $350 from the cash register and stole another $60 from Patrick's wallet.
Wow.
Doyle was picked up a few days later and admitted, yeah, I killed him.
I did that.
Wow. Yep. He was booked and charged with capital murder.
That's such an escalation, though. Like, from robbery to, like, he's not had this in the past, you know?
No, he hasn't. And I wonder if he freaked out a little. Like, I wonder if, like, maybe there was, like, a sudden movement or...
Right, or in, like, was he on drugs? Like, he was using...
Right.
You know, was he, like, out know, of under his the mind. Influence or...
Yeah.
I mean, no excuse, but it just kind of seems like a... Like, we've had all this time where we're... Like, I feel like you would have seen an escalation before now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's interesting.
It is really, really strange. Hmm. Yeah, okay. For sure. And I don't know, like, what came first. Like, did Patrick say, no, I'm not giving you the money? Or did he say, I want more than this? And he said, that's all we have. Right. And he killed it. I don't know. So I don't have all those details. Mm. Because really, this story is going to be focused more on his trial and execution versus the crime, which is not our typical. So.
Right.
But stick with me.
Okay.
So Doyle's trial took place in the latter months of 1987 and was divided into two parts, which some states have. So the first was to determine the verdict of innocent or guilty. Even though he had, you know, said, oh, yeah, yeah, I did this, they also took it to the jury and, you know, there wasn't like a plea deal or something. Right. So it went to the jury. And based on what the jury declared, then a second session would happen to determine the penalty if he was found guilty.
Right.
So if he would receive a life sentence or be given the death penalty, depending on, you know, which way we went. So the defense attorney had some evidence that Doyle had an IQ of 66. So...
Definitely EC.
Yes. It is important to know here that an IQ below 70 is considered intellectually disabled, and back in the 1980s would have been considered MR, or mentally retarded.
Mm.
And by today's standards in Alabama, based on their standard deviation, so that's a number that you would subtract from... your basic 100 IQ score. Sorry, we're starting to get into some details. Some finer points here. Yeah. He would have an IQ of 55 or below to get an MR diagnosis nowadays.
Gotcha.
So nowadays, and we don't even really use that term anymore. But nowadays, he would just be considered intellectually delayed or intellectually disabled based on his IQ. Yeah. But I digress.
I mean, I work with students who have an IQ similar, who are in our occupational course of study.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I mean, they still have every opportunity to, you know, they get a different kind of diploma, but they can still go to college if they want. Like, it's not anything different, but it is more, like, they are self-contained for their core classes. So, like, they're much more modified for core classes, like English, math, that kind of thing. And then they do all of the regular electives and stuff.
That's great.
And then they do, it has a certain number of work hours attached to it to kind of get them prepared for either workforce or technical trades, or if they want to pursue, you know, four-year college, they can still do that. They're, you know, open opportunity. But it's, that program's amazing. I love it. The kids in there thrive. When you see, like, especially kids who struggle so much their first year that haven't been correctly placed, and then we can get them placed in that program, and they just, like, thrive.
Yeah,
it's just such a cool thing to see. But yeah, 60 feels like, I'm trying to think of kids that 66. I work with 66
yeah,
the kids that I work with that have that IQ, I mean, they still know the difference between right and wrong.
Exactly.
Like, but
you have to remember, he's also on drugs,
right?
So,
like, my kids that have that wouldn't. Yeah, that's not an excuse, is what I'm trying to get at. Like, that's not a...
Right.
Like, just because you are delayed or have this IQ of 66, that's not all that different.
There's an added piece to this. It is believed that Doyle was the product of fetal alcohol syndrome.
Okay.
Which cause physical abnormalities and intellectual abnormalities. So this is...
That's probably where the IQ
during her pregnancy, and his mother was actively drinking and consuming alcohol, which causes appearance, some issues with appearance where you can kind of tell there's something different about the child, and also can cause intellectual abnormalities,
typically
physical delays,
that stunted kind of growth. There's like a certain like facial
features that are indicative.
You kind of tell
sometimes eyes that are further apart, wider set,
larger forehead,
smaller ears, ears that are set back a little bit, or ears that are a little more forward.
You can kind of tell. But again, worked with kids with this. Not an excuse for murdering.
So I will say, all of this collectively, on top of the fact of the family he grew up in and the lifestyle he lived as a child, none of this was presented at his trial. In fact, his lawyer spoke for 19 minutes in mitigation and never brought up his cognitive function or familial history at all. None of this.
Feels like a disservice.
Complete disservice, because this only shows really a small portion of this guy's past, which, again, we're not saying like, oh, yes.
But it explains a lot.
It explains, like, a little bit
more. You know, it's very different for somebody who has this intellectual delay, has this family history, has fetal alcohol syndrome, and then does something like this versus somebody who's lived an affluent lifestyle, you know,
had all the opportunities,
that kind of thing, to go and commit this terrible crime. Doesn't excuse it on any way.
No.
But at that point, I might be looking at, okay, you know, maybe we can do some rehabilitation here.
Exactly.
With this person who's had all this stacked against them, has done this thing, maybe we can do some rehabilitation. Get them clean, get them, you know, what they need.
Good to go. Yep.
you know, and maybe it is, you know, life in prison with possibility of parole and, you know,
right, 50 with years mental health something. Service,
right, yeah, with that, or, you know, yeah, that's yeah. It does change things a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
With
too.
That information, doesn't excuse it, but
subsequently, because of the lack of, you know, I would say well-roundedness that was presented in this case, mm-hmm. the jury found Doyle guilty of first-degree murder.
Yeah.
And a second session was held where Doyle was given a sentence of death.
Right. That's where I think the other things should have come into play.
I agree.
During the sentencing part. Yes, absolutely, he's guilty of first-degree murder.
Sure.
100%. Maybe that's the time, I feel like, to bring in all those things that have kind of happened to him.
Right.
The, like, how did we get here part?
Mm-hmm.
And figure out what do we do now?
Right. I mean, there have been individuals who went on, you know, mass killing sprees or serial killers who weren't given the death penalty.
Right.
And I'm not saying, like, apples for oranges here, but, you know, I mean, yeah. This was sort of this first time this happened. And I'm not saying, like, I mean, the first time is the last because he killed a human. He took away a human life.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a sticky situation here.
That's why I could never serve on a
It would be death so penalty hard. That, well, they wouldn't want us anyway.
No, we wouldn't make past the first.
Be terrible.
We wouldn't get juice.
We wouldn't get past the wanding.
No.
It would say, turn around, you're gone.
Bye.
See ya.
Yeah.
So by 1999, Doyle's case was reviewed on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So this was somewhat, you know, 12 years after he was convicted. The appeal was based on, you know, having ineffective counsel. Well, yeah.
Sounds
they
like
said
it.
That he wasn't provided with adequate counsel who could provide the jury with his familial history, his developmental history, his delays,
mm-hmm.
All these things that were happening.
Yeah.
It went to the Court of Appeals, but no new trial was granted and the verdict remained.
I don't like that.
I don't either. By February of 2014, Doyle had been on death row for 27 years waiting execution.
That's awful.
Yeah. He became ill and was diagnosed with B-cell lymphoma, or cancer, that was spreading throughout his body. Doyle had radiation, but by 2017, the cancer continued to worsen and a lesion...
Lesion.
I can't say that.
Lesion.
Yes. Was eating through his cheek.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Medical providers weren't allowed to bring all of their equipment into the prison. So, like, they weren't allowed to bring a tourniquet into the prison. Yeah. So, Doyle's attorney handed over his necktie to be used as a tourniquet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, it's like, even at this, the guy's got cancer. It's like
that
ravaging
just feels
his body.
Like a denial of basic human rights.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Doyle had Hep C.
Oh, wow.
After years of intravenous drug use, and they had a very hard time finding a vein on him. This is going to be important later in our story. Towards the end of 2017, a date for execution was set for February 22nd. 2018. Just gonna say, this kind of makes no sense. The man's been sitting on death row at this point for 30 years and is actively dying of cancer.
Right.
Why are we going to execute him? Like, what's the point?
Right. Just let him
die.
Yeah, pass naturally. And
but I guess it was time to make an example of him. And, you know, say, oh, no, we're going to kill you before you die on your own. What?
I mean, but there's part of me that's like, maybe he was like, maybe this is a blessing, you know?
Maybe.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I've met people who,
I get that.
I've worked on hospice and like people who are, you know, absolutely suffering.
Yeah.
Who I can imagine if that was an option.
Yeah.
They would take it.
Yeah. Definitely.
So.
Well, it doesn't seem like that's what Doyle really wanted. Because
Never mind then.
In January of 2018, he appealed his execution, but a judge stated after a medical examination stated that Doyle's arms were unusable for IV insertion, but his lower extremities were usable, like his legs, feet, all those things. So, I mean, we're just going to keep this execution on because Doyle was trying to say, like, you know, my veins are blown. You know, like, you can't do this.
Like, how are we going to do this?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this wouldn't even be possible.
Right.
There were multiple calls for clemency to no avail. And Doyle and his lawyer were appealing, asking for a stay of execution hours prior to the time set forth for his death sentence. At 6 p.m. on February 22nd, the day of the execution, the Supreme Court issued a temporary stay while they reviewed Doyle's claims, which included the fact that he was dying of cancer. It was also brought up that a case like Doyle's, with an individual facing an execution who had limited vein access, had never been tried in Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this was a whole new issue for them to look over, think about, like, I mean, you're weighing your options here. Like, the guy's dying anyway. We have a hard time getting vein access. Should we forego this? You know, they kind of went back and forth. So what we have here is a man who's facing impending death in one way or another.
Right.
3 hours later, the Supreme Court came back and stated that they denied his stay of execution, ruling that the death penalty would be carried out.
Wow.
That night, Doyle was taken to a room where correctional officers spent 2.5 hours trying to insert needles into his ankles and legs. So I want to go back a second. Imagine in that 3 hours where it's gone to the Supreme Court and they've stayed it while they review it. There's that second of like, what if they say, you know, it's, you know, fine. Like, I don't have to be executed. Like,
that I can die on my own terms.
That I can die peacefully on my own. Maybe not peacefully, right, but on my own terms. You know, naturally. Versus, oh my gosh, what if it does happen tonight?
Right.
And then to come back and be told, nope, it's happening tonight. So now you're going to go die. I just the thoughts in your head, I can't imagine. So he's in there, and they're trying to insert these needles in his lower extremities, and it's not happening. Like, they were unsuccessful in getting a vein, just as they thought they might. So everyone was getting a little antsy. So the execution team turned Doyle over on his stomach and proceeded to slap the back of his legs in order to get a vein to surface. So if you've ever had blood drawn, sometimes the tech will tap your veins to make it move to the surface so that they can feel it. They want to feel those like little ridges kind of thing.
But like, I've had my blood taken quite a bit just with my medical history. And I've given blood several times. That is extremely painful. When they, like, not so much, like, when they do it correctly, you don't feel it.
Yeah.
And not, like, they do it incorrectly, but, like, I have tricky veins just because.
Same.
Like, they're just hard to
mine get. Mine are deep. They roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, when I've had them insert and then have to, like, pull back out and try to find it, that hurts.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine 2.5, 3 hours.
Or when they're digging.
Yeah.
Where they'll dig around and try and find
that
it.
That hurts.
Do you imagine if it's on your legs and your ankle?
Ugh.
That's like bone there. Like, that sounds awful. Yeah. Yeah. And for me, I have veins that are deep and they roll. So, like, they think they found a vein and they'll insert the needle and they'll pull it back out. And they're like, oh, nope, try again. No blood. So if you're dehydrated, it makes it even worse. Actually, one time I was having an endoscopy. I was dehydrated because, you know, you prep for it. And it took 10 times of sticking me. An IV team came in. An anesthesiologist came in. And the anesthesiologist was like, I'm going to get this. And he was like, everybody just get out of my way. I'm going to get this. He was hellbent.
Yeah.
And brings in the ultrasound machine. And finally, on the 10th time, they got it. But they had mentioned, we're going to have to try on your feet. Because
yeah,
we're just getting to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? And it delayed my procedure. And my GI doc was like pacing back and forth. Yeah. Like, Are we ready?
Can we go? Let's go. Uh-huh. Let's go.
And so the anesthesiologist felt pressure. Like mm-hmm. everybody was just, it was intense. So I can see
why and that's everybody. 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I can see why everybody was nervous at this execution and antsy for more reasons than just it's an mm-hmm. execution. Mm-hmm. It's also like, shit, we can't get this, right. You know? This team was never able to find a vein.
Okay.
So with limited options, they went for Doyle's groin. Ugh. His groin. Can you imagine?
No.
I can't imagine.
No.
Ugh. So... just to summarize here, the man has been stuck repeatedly in the legs, in the front part of his legs and ankles. He's been flipped onto his stomach after 2.5 hours and jabbed on the backsides of his legs and ankles and feet. And not finding anything, they're going for his groin now. So he was jabbed with a needle 6 times in his groin. On one jab of the needle, it punctured his bladder, and another stick got his femoral artery. This is the main support of blood to the thigh and the leg, the femoral artery.
Oh, my God.
This caused Doyle to bleed out all over the execution table. There was a pad underneath him, and that was caked in blood all over his groin area. The team had to move Doyle and change the pad underneath him, replacing it with a new fresh one.
Right.
After several hours attempting to get a vein and being unsuccessful, finally, the execution was called off. It sounds like this man was literally tortured.
Yeah.
I mean, fine. You've decided that you're going to kill him.
Just do it.
But it should be humane.
Yeah, this is not okay.
This is torture. You are causing him more harm. Like... this is ridiculous.
Right, like I get that he took a life and that's terrible and awful, but...
absolutely, but this is...
you're no better now.
Yeah.
You know?
Doyle collapsed when he was removed from the gurney.
I bet. He's lost like half his blood volume.
Yeah. His lawyer stated that he was a shell of his former self. He was in absolute agony. Doyle was one of the few people in U.S. history to ever walk away from an execution alive.
Wow.
He was, in fact, only the 4th person to do so since 1946.
Wow.
So most executions were successful-ish.
Mm.
Later that evening, a press conference was held with Jeff Dunn, who was the commissioner of the Alabama Department of Corrections.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dunn told reporters, quote, "I wouldn't necessarily characterize what we had tonight as a problem," end quote.
What would you characterize it as, Jeff?
Exactly. Gee, Jeff.
What was it then? Hmm. I wouldn't call it a success.
I wouldn't call it a problem.
I wouldn't call it, you know, anything but a problem.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And they knew this. They knew this going in that this could be an issue, and they pushed it. Like, oh, well, we're just going to push past it.
Yeah, we're just going to do it. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. The New York Times wrote about this and described this execution as ghoulish proceedings. Sarah Totonacci?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totonacci?
Sure.
She is the executive director of the Southern Center for Human Rights, and she stated that this attempted execution was, quote, unconscionable. She felt that this attempted execution clearly demonstrates the cruelty and torture of the death penalty.
Yeah, I mean, that is,
it's insane.
I think after hour one, you call it.
That's when you say, okay, listen, we can't get
it. Like, that's still too long. Yeah. But that's,
We're talking multiple hours.
Yeah.
This is way too long. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The editorial board of an Alabama newspaper described the attempted execution as, quote, torture in Alabama's death chamber, end quote. A report submitted to the federal court from the doctor who actually examined Doyle after the attempted execution,
mm-hmm.
he wrote that during the execution, Doyle wished for death because, quote, He preferred to die rather than continue to experience the ongoing severe pain. Yeah, who wouldn't? I mean, the guy was like stabbed in the groin and his bladder was poked. And I just, oh my gosh. So a week or so later, after the attempted execution, Doyle and his attorney filed a civil rights lawsuit against the Alabama Department of Corrections.
I don't blame him.
Me neither.
You know, I'm not condoning what he did. Like, no. Yes, he should pay for what he did. But this is inhumane.
It's completely inhumane. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How are you any better?
Like, at this point, I would say, you know, killing him the same way he killed his victim is more humane.
It is. It is.
I mean, because this is just, that's just
another firing level. Squad is more humane at this point. Yeah. Yeah.
Electric chair is more humane.
Yeah. The lawsuit stated that Doyle's 4th, 8th, and 14th Amendment rights had been violated in this botched execution. And for those of you who are unaware, the 4th Amendment protects against unreasonable search and seizure by the government. So in this case, it would have been like Doyle's body, essentially. Yeah. The 8th Amendment protects against cruel and unusual punishment. There we go.
Yes,
and the 14th Amendment allows due process and has an equal protection clause for its citizen, which applies to those who are incarcerated.
Yeah, we definitely have not had that.
Nope. So 3 weeks later, Doyle and his attorney reached a settlement with the Alabama Department of Corrections. This settlement ended all state and federal litigation and ensured Alabama would not seek out a second execution date.
Wow.
So they could not execute him again or attempt to.
Right.
Yeah. So this means he would die naturally of cancer versus execution part deux, you know?
Yeah.
So following Doyle's attempted execution, the Associated Press and other news outlets requested the state's execution protocol and related records. So they were like, hey, listen, we want documentation from this.
What you doing?
What's happening here? And the state was like, oh, no, 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 no. And they denied the request, claiming that the execution protocol was a secret.
No, it's not.
It is in Alabama. It's a secret. We can't
tell. It shouldn't be. If you're above board, it shouldn't be a secret.
Exactly. A district court ordered that the state could not keep its protocol a secret.
Yeah, no.
And had to disclose the requested records. So in March of 2019, a three-judge panel of 11th Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the district court's ruling. So the 11th Circuit wrote that, quote, the fact that Alabama zealously guards information about a matter of great public concern does not tip the scales against disclosure. The court concludes that the considerations in favor of unsealing the records greatly outweigh Alabama's interest in maintaining secrecy.
No secrets.
No secrets.
Secrets don't make friends.
Yeah, yeah. So they disclosed a lot of this info, which has ultimately changed a lot of how executions happen and like decisions around it. And it actually was weighed in a case in Oklahoma, I believe.
Oh, wow.
The person ended up being executed without any like issue, but it was something that was definitely considered before this ever happened. So Doyle lived another 3.5 years in prison and died on November 28th, 2021 of cancer. Mm. Doyle was 64 years old at the time of his death. But you know what? All I hear in that song is you can go your own way. And, you know, I mean, the guy was riddled with cancer.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I found this story and was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. So I just thought I would share that with y'all. You know, just cheer y'all up. All the things.
Wow.
Yeah.
I went through a lot of emotions.
Yeah, like, is it going to happen? It won't happen. They're going to say no. Yeah, they're gonna
and just,
him.
Like, conflicted, like, feelings about it. Like I felt sorry for him. But he's a murderer.
Right.
So then I feel weird about that.
We get into that nature versus nurture thing, right? Yeah. So what if he were born to a different family?
Right.
What if he were adopted out? What if, like, all these scenarios, right, and he had a different upbringing, would this have ever happened?
Yeah.
Or what if, you know, he had the same familial upbringing, and yes, he was a murderer and all these things, mm-hmm. but at his trial, they presented his familial history, his, you know, intellectual disabilities, all of these things, his illicit drug use, all these things that tie in and could have maybe given him a prison sentence.
Right.
And maybe life in prison or something to that effect versus the death penalty. I mean, there were so many steps in this case that, like, could have prevented these things from happening.
Right.
But nothing.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And they could have chosen not to, like, make an example of him.
Right.
And just let him die of cancer.
Right, but no. Like, he's, you know, probably pretty close.
Yeah. 27 years thinking, when's my time going to be up? And then they're like, oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, they're like, now. Sudden,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Seems a little weird.
Yeah. So. Whew. That's a heavy story.
That is really heavy.
Yeah, sorry.
That's really heavy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, if you want to get in touch with us and tell us what you think about any of these stories or any of our personal stories,
yeah.
feel free. I know a lot of you have comments. So feel free to reach out to us via email. Haley would love to respond to those.
Same way.
At mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at mountainmysteries.appalachia. You can find us on Facebook at Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia. And Patreon, patreon.com/mountainmysteries. It's where you get bonus content. Mm. It's where you get our bloopers. It's where you get all that crazy stuff. And, of course, mm-hmm. Holly and Haley After Dark.
After Dark. It's not that kind of activities.
No. Oh, no, no. We, no. No.
It's no. Very clean.
Unless you're shipping us, and then we do whatever you want us
sure.
to do. Oh, we could do romance novels this week. But actually, you know, the romance I see... Randy and Haley.
I don't know.
The wand?
I don't know. I've got a pretty good one right now.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
He's pretty solid. Yeah.
Well, you always have a fallback.
I killed a guy in Nam.
Oh my god.
Randy doesn't talk like that, actually.
No, but... Randy might be a little too much for me. Like, I don't know if I could handle that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he's divorced. I can't.
I don't think I've ever asked him about his personal life.
Well, I haven't either, but like, yeah. I pass him daily, right. And I'm like trying to figure him out a little bit. He's like not one of those guys that's like going to sit there and be like, you know, I don't know. In 90, I went to Desert Storm. Like, I'm just not, yeah. Like, he's just not going to talk about those kinds
no.
of, I mean, maybe, but I don't see him talking about that. But I can imagine, like, maybe he's got like grown kids or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Interesting.
Maybe one day I will connect with him on
it. Maybe one day we'll bring him on the podcast. Think he'd ever agree?
No.
I don't either.
No. I think he would be so uncomfortable because he's very much like professional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever see him.
It would just be silence.
Probably.
We would notice him and he'd be like, hello.
Because he gives me, so you know, we can like, you know, just like salute somebody with your like two fingers.
Yeah.
He'll like, ma'am. Or just kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of wave me on and I'm like, have a good day. And he just does that like tip his hat to mm-hmm. me kind of thing. And
yeah.
I'm like,
okay,
all right,
bye.
Well, Haley gets wanded.
I get wanded.
And pushed out of the car and I get, have yeah. a good day.
I don't think he wanted me to get out of the car that time, but I probably felt like not. I needed to.
And the wanting probably was, ma'am,
get back in your car.
See him.
Put your hands on the vehicle.
Ma'am. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Hey.
And that makes me think, like, he's definitely gone through, like, tactical training.
Oh,
or,
I'm
some, like,
he could have taken me out.
Or something. For sure.
Before I even blinked.
Probably. Yeah. Snapped your neck.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's give a shout out here. How about
Negative
Federal
Public.
Way, Washington?
Nice. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Well, until next time, Haley will be back with her story next
week. I will remember them.
For another pat down.
Oh, maybe not. Pat down. Or maybe, you know, whatever.
I mean, depends on your mood. Like,
you know, it's fine.
Whatever. I mean, it's nothing sexual.
No.
It's just a good pat down.
Just a good pat
Everybody
down.
Everybody loves that. you next week.
Bye.
Bye.